Pray with me, please. Loving God, may these gifts be used to do your work in our church, in our community, and in the world, to feed the hungry, help to heal the broken hearts and minds, promote justice, and bring knowledge and love of Jesus Christ to all. Amen. Be seated. Pray with me, please, again. Guide us, O God, by your word and Holy Spirit, that in your light we may see light, in your truth find freedom, and your will discover peace. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The first reading today is from Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 15 through 16 and 20 through 24. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice. And verses 20 through 24. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted at all the weak animals with your horns until you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
God be the glory. Thank you so much. Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 34 to 40. Listen now to the word of God. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now, have you ever thought of writing a bucket list? Yeah, I think many of us have thought about, at least in our heads, maybe not put it in writing, what you want to accomplish before you die. Like in that movie, The Bucket List. I'm not sure, did any of you see this movie? Yeah, it's a great movie, and I love the actors in it. They talk about what's important to accomplish, and one of the things that many of us as pastors think about is, what do we want to accomplish before we meet our Maker? We never know, too, when that day will happen. My mother and I thought that we had a brush with death one Sunday afternoon when we were in a small plane piloted by my aunt Florence Marie. Now, my aunt was the first woman pilot in the Civil Air Patrol in Nebraska, and so she was a good pilot. And we were flying to a gem and mineral show that my aunt wanted us to go to, and she was a science teacher, a seventh grade science teacher, and loved geology, so she wanted us to go with her. And it was a flight from Grand Island, Nebraska to Omaha, if you know the distance that that is. So I was only about 10 years old, but along the way, a storm started brewing in the sky, and we lost radio contact with the airport towers that were helping check in with us along the way. So my aunt started to adjust the radio to get a signal. And then when suddenly, out of all the buzzy sounds as she was adjusting it, a strong voice broke through and shouted, "Are you ready to meet your Maker?" And we were like, whoa. We were stunned by it. And we were silent for about a minute, kind of a little shocked. And then my aunt started to laugh. I'll never forget her laugh. And then she realized she had tuned the plane's radio to a Christian station. And it was a preacher preaching a fire and brimstone sermon. Thank goodness. So even though we laughed about it, the preacher did inspire us to stop for a minute and think, are we ready? And we were glad that we didn't have to be ready that day. But Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, they were not quite ready either in the movie The Bucket List. And so they checked out of the hospital where they were roommates, and they began completing their item on their mutual bucket list. They did things like skydiving and wanted to do an around-the-world trip. So have you started your list? Have some of you been thinking about it? I think this movie really was good at inspiring people to think seriously about it. One of the items on my list is to visit the ancient churches in Turkey, including a trip to Ephesus, where the Ephesians still live today. And I love Paul's letter to the Ephesians, so that's one of the reasons I desire to go and see where Paul was and where he walked. And this book of Ephesians just has so many famous passages that you probably do remember. Ephesians 1 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." So I love that we're made for good works, but it's also a reminder that God loves us unconditionally, no matter what, that we don't have to earn that love. But out of that love, out of the response to God's deep love, we just naturally then want to do good works because we are so grateful. And then Ephesians 4 says, "Lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing up one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Now, we are made for peace too, not for war. And I do think that's one of the reasons why so many come back with post-traumatic stress syndrome, is because our brains are just not created to deal with the atrocities and the things that happen in war. And then Ephesians 5 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us." So all of these passages actually in Ephesians, I realize, connect to our topic today. We are created for good works. We are to lead lives of humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love and peace. And we are to imitate God and live a life full of love and full of gratitude for Jesus, who gave of himself fully for each one of us. Now, most of the items on Freeman and Nicholson's bucket list in the movie were self-serving kind of thrill-seeking adventures. But do you remember one of the surprising things on Jack Nicholson's list? He had help a complete stranger for the common good. Help a complete stranger for the common good. Now, that would be on God's bucket list. Probably not the skydiving. But think for a moment. If God wrote your bucket list for you, what would God list? Love God and love your neighbor is a pretty obvious one, since those are the greatest commandments that were given. But there are other clues in this scripture for today. We're to give food to the hungry, a drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the lonely in prison. There's your list for you. That is what God is calling you to do, to live out your purpose in life. And so many people wonder, like, what is God's will for my life? This is God's will for your life. But we are to shape and form our lives in this way so that we do these kinds of things not just once as a checkoff, but all the time. So how many here have visited someone in prison? So there are some of you who have done that. Yes, you know, it's not easy these days to get permission, actually, to do that. I have a friend that is a chaplain in the state prison in New Jersey, and she has a very noble job and also a very difficult job. They even call her in from home when the prisoners act as if they might be going to riot. so that she can come in anytime, day or night, to help calm them down. One of her prisoners is Charles Cullen. I don't know if you remember Charles Cullen. He's the nurse serial killer from New Jersey. He's responsible for over 40 deaths that they have confirmed, but they think he possibly was involved with as many as 400 deaths in his career as a nurse. Now, I think it takes supernatural power to give spiritual care to a serial killer. But prison chaplain Kathleen, she sees Cullen as a damaged child whose mental illness convinced him that he was sparing the patients from suffering. And every Christmas, she is so thankful for her job because she gets to help the prisoners give gifts to their children. The prison receives gifts from the Toys for Tots program, and the prisoners get to pick out one special gift for each child. And then they get to wrap them and give them personally to their children. But sometimes they can only give the gifts through the glass visitor window. They may not be allowed to touch them and to really be with them. But every Christmas, my friend Kathleen gets to prepare this gift-giving event. And you can imagine how big it is, because there's a lot of prisoners in Trenton. But it brings so much joy to the prisoner families. She says she gets to witness miraculous spiritual moments of God's grace and mercy. Lots of tears flow, both of joy and of sadness, mixed together during this giving time. So if you do want to help prisoners, you don't have to go to prison in person. There is the Angel Tree Program, whose website says, for 2.7 million American children, their lives are filled with abandonment, loneliness, and shame because they have a mother or a father in prison. So Angel Tree is a program of the Prison Fellowship. And this unique program is an opportunity to share Christ's love by helping to meet the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of the families of prisoners. And I know that is a great gift to those in prison when you get involved with this program. And it's year-round, it's not just seasonal. So basically, this passage today says, if you do these things that are on God's bucket list, you will enter the kingdom of God. But then immediately after this passage, Matthew 22, verses 41 to 46, gives a huge warning. It says, if you don't do these things, then he will say to those at his left hand, you that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick or in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, surely I tell you, just as you did not do it for one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Whoa, pretty powerful, isn't it? That's where, if you want to preach a fire and brimstone sermon, you can focus on those images right there. It's pretty harsh judgment, don't you think? But it does kind of remind us when we feel that we're too busy or too uneasy to provide food, drink, care, and clothes for the needy, that maybe we should stop and think about some others for a while. But we must remember here, too, that although there is much to learn from this passage to apply to our daily lives today, when we think about the context that Jesus was in at this time, When he said these words, he was angry about the leaders in the temple, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, because they were clearly neglecting the poor at that time. You remember how he tipped over the tables of the money changers because they had been allowing the money changers at the temple to take advantage of the people, especially the poor people. They were being turned away from being able to afford to buy the symbols that they needed to take into the temple for the sacrificial ceremonies. And so Jesus was livid that they were separating the wealthy from the poor and allowing only the elite to really feel as if they had atoned for their sins. So Jesus was very angry, and he also knows that they are plotting against him, and that in just 3 days from this point, he will be crucified. So Jesus is not holding back his feelings about their neglect. So I don't think that these words of eternal punishment are really for us. I think they were directly for them. And yet there's so much to tell us how important it is to remember God's bucket list and to remember the kinds of things we are to be doing. Through this passage, God is asking for us all to follow this list, but in your own creative, unique ways, because God knows we all have different personalities and different ways of reaching out to others. So getting involved with the Giving Tree program is a wonderful, creative way that I'm so thankful this church offers for everyone to get involved with. And that would definitely meet a lot of these things on this bucket list. So at the end of this passage, Jesus emphasizes that we are to reach out to the least of these. And when he says the least of these, he also means the ones for us that are the hardest to love, the hardest to care about, the forgotten, or the least valued in society. Never look down on someone unless you are helping them up. I love that. Never look down on someone unless you are helping them up. That's a quote from Jesse Jackson. So this Thanksgiving, God is calling you out of your comfort zone to minister to the least of these, those you have the most trouble loving and reaching out to. Think for a moment who those people might be that you have in your life. This group might even include your relatives that you dread sitting next to at Thanksgiving. They might qualify as the least of these. So just remember, when you are reaching out to the least of these, though, use your head and stay safe at the same time. When I first spoke to a young, rain-drenched homeless man who was sitting the other night outside of Lucky's, I made sure I was safe. I made a plan before I spoke to him. So I really think it's smart to help the homeless and to reach out to people, but it's also smart to keep a safe distance when you need to. So that night I kept a safe distance while I arranged for him to get a meal just over at Carl's Jr. And I also decided not to engage him in conversation since I was alone. Normally, I would have asked if he had shelter and referred him to a place like the Redwood Gospel Mission. Their mission statement comes from a passage that explains the consequences of helping the least of these. They use Isaiah 58:10 to guide their mission statement. And it says, "If you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday." So if you feel called to help a homeless person, I have a piece of paper for you to give them. You can fold it up easily and put it in your pocket or in your purse. And then when a person asks you for money, you can give them this. And by doing this, you show them you care. And if you don't have this paper with you for some reason, because I made lots of copies, you can get them out in the narthex on the table. But if you don't have this with you, you can also tell them to call 211, which is the general helpline, and ask them to find the phone number for them of the Redwood Gospel Mission or Catholic Charities. And that's their avenue to find many of these resources that are on this paper. God wants you to use your compassion skills that you were created with. You were created with compassion. You are naturally compassionate. So God wants you to let that compassion show. So as you help the least of these, look into their eyes. I know from talking to homeless people that when you look into their eyes, they appreciate that so much, because so often they get ignored. People walk by out of discomfort and don't really look at them face to face. So try to look in their eyes and see the face of Jesus in each one that you help. And then go home and look in the mirror to see the face of God smiling through you. Now today, we will close with a Thanksgiving reminder that the least of these, in this case, a baby, can teach us how to be thankful in all circumstances.
Being thankful is an act of maturity. It's an act that shows that you're growing. You know, when we're young and we're kids, and it's easy not to be thankful at that moment. You know, we get told something or given something, and we may say thanks, but we really don't mean it. We almost think that we're entitled to something. You know, you stop and think about it. Are you grateful? I mean, when you stop and think about the circumstances of your life, are you really grateful for the things that you have? I mean, let's be honest. Would you be more thankful if you had one of these? How about you even had one of these? Would that cause you to be thankful? You see, it's not the stuff of this earth that should cause us to be thankful. It's the circumstances that God has allowed into our lives to shape us, to mold us, to make us more like His Son, Jesus. You know, this whole idea of Thanksgiving and this time of the year, it reminds me of, even in my own life, a very special time when I had to learn this lesson of what it really meant to be able to be thankful in all things. I'll never forget, it was in October, in the fall, and my wife and I were expecting the birth of our fourth child. And we were so grateful with the fact that God had blessed us with another child. And I remember the birth on that October day of going into the hospital, seeing this miracle happen, and then quickly realizing as my wife and I looked at our little baby that there was something different about her. Well, the nurses came in and they assured us, well, there's nothing there, don't worry about it. Well, they ordered the test, they did the test, then they came back and said that our daughter had Down syndrome. Well, you can imagine, at first we were like, how can this be? We have had three quote-unquote normal children. How could we have a Down syndrome child? Until we realized, you know what? In all things, give thanks. Well, let me tell you, that's what we started to do. We shifted from the immature position of I deserve, I'm entitled, and a very thankless attitude to one where we said, God, we're going to praise you no matter what. And let me tell you, it didn't take long to realize what a joy and what a privilege it is to have Alethea as part of our family. Do you have a heart that demonstrates gratitude in all things? You see, that's exactly what God said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, that in all circumstances we are to give thanks. That's His will for us who are in Christ Jesus. You see, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a lover of Jesus, if you're someone that says, yes, I am a disciple of Jesus, then you have got to be willing to be thankful in all circumstances. Hey, this year, this Thanksgiving season, why not allow your heart to be transformed into the heart that the Father wants us to have? A heart that is truly grateful and thankful in all circumstances.
may be seated. The stars in their courses line reminded me that the Windjammers are going to a planetarium today. So don't forget if you're signed up to go with the Windjammers. We also want to announce, though, a very sad announcement that last Sunday evening, Rit Anderson passed away at Paulin Creek. He was at home. He was in the care of his caretaker and surrounded by friends. His daughter had just visited, and she had just left a few hours, and then he passed. So it's like that was on his bucket list, I think, to see his daughter one more time. And the other daughter, too, had visited before that. So the family isn't quite ready yet to plan a memorial service, so it'll be sometime in the future, so the service is pending. We also want to remember Ted Crouch. Ted is progressing. He's back at Friend's House, and he's eating better and feeling much better. So he's hoping to get to go home one of these days soon. So please keep Ted in your prayers, too. And today we have on our prayer request to pray for Robert McNutt to have faith. And a thank you for all the prayers and well wishes for Jonathan Steele's surgery and his recovery. And he thinks everything is now on track. And so he wants to bless all the doctors and nurses too. So I'm glad he didn't have Charles Cullen as one of his nurses. But it's so good that the nurses take really good care of him. And Jonathan came to our committee meeting this week. So it's a blessing to have him back with us. Pamela is asking for prayer for pain relief and a good reading this Tuesday on how effective her chemo is. So that's from Pamela Sage. So please keep Pamela in your prayers. And her mom, Suzanne, is battling lung trouble from paint dust a month ago. So she's out of church today and sends her love to all of us. And just a special prayer for all your Thanksgiving gatherings. They can be full of joy and tension at the same time. And so I hope that it all goes smoothly and that your sense of peace just gravitates out to everyone else so everyone feels peaceful. And now please join me as we read our prayer of the people responsively today. Our shepherd satisfies our needs in faith, so let us pray to the Lord. O Lord, our God, we pray for the church. As you have made Christ the head of all, help us to live faithfully as his body, continuing his mission to the world. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, our God, we pray for the earth. Let all the earth make a joyful noise to you, a song of praise to the rock of our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, O Lord, our God, we pray for all nations. Drive out those wolves in sheep's clothing who abuse the weak and scatter the flock. Save us. Bring justice and peace. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, we pray for this community. Help us to see Christ among our neighbors, serving those who are hungry, lonely, sick, or in prison. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, our God, we pray for loved ones. Bless our Thanksgiving time together. Remember the people of your pasture. Rescue the lost. Bind up the broken. Heal the sick. Comfort those who mourn. Lord, in your mercy. Loving Shepherd, lead and guide us in green pastures and by still waters, in right paths and through dark valleys, until we dwell in your house forever. We pray these intercessions through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Again, if you would like to pick up one of these papers that has a whole list front and back of resources for those who are homeless, they're out on the welcome table and they're also here on a coffee table in Campbell Court. And I really recommend that you give this instead of money, because money sometimes can cause more harm in their pockets than good. And so I wanted to share with you my favorite quote, though, in the movie The Bucket List. It's when Jack Nicholson says, "I envy people who have faith. I just can't get my head around it, though." And Morgan Freeman replies, "Maybe because your head's in the way." That was very good. So don't let your head get in the way. Show your faith in God's love by helping the least of these as often as you can. Always be ready, too, to meet your Maker. and have a happy Thanksgiving. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you now and forevermore. Amen.